Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
G'day, Coxie. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Waz. How are you?
Very good, very good. Today is another of our real tradie blokes interviews. Mm-hmm. No, is that what we're calling it?
Real tradie guys.
Guys, and that's right. It has to rhyme with wives.
Yeah.
Wives and guys.
You know I've got to have it all in the right compartments.
Yeah, matchy,
guys
matchy.
And wives. Matchy, works matchy. Well.
Yeah, anyway. So, real tradie guys interview today with a tradie, of course, but Peter James. So he's a plasterer and a father and part of our community.
Bloody good bloke.
And yeah, Pete has been very generous today with his time, but also with his story. He's shared a heck of a lot of his story today. So he does talk about his life over the last 10 or 15 years. And part of that has been an experience with suicide. So we just want to let you know, if you're listening to this episode and that is going to be an issue for you in any way, shape or form, then we just want to warn you about the rest of this episode. By all means, if you want to listen to it, do so, but just be warned about that. And if you are having trouble, or you need some help.
Please contact Lifeline 13 11 14, or you can find them online. That's going to be a big mouthful.
Yeah, online at Lifeline.
lifeline.org.au. And there's always Mates in Construction too, 1300 642 111. And I'd just like to say this probably isn't one to listen to with the kids around. If the kids are in the car, turn this one off, save it for another time.
But apart from that, enjoy this interview with another real tradie guy. So welcome, listeners, to another real tradie story. We should change these, Coxie, because we've got real tradie wives interviews.
Real tradie guys.
And real tradie men.
Guys.
We can't really call them men. Real tradie guys.
Real tradie guys, real tradie wives. Now I can't even say.
Anyway, we'll go and brainstorm what we're going to call these episodes. Joining us today is an old mate of mine. Well, he's not technically old, but old as in he was a mate of mine.
Hey, you're stitching him up here.
Yeah. Pete, mate. Pete the plasterer. And so we're going to have a chat to Pete today. And this is part of, I guess, a bit of our new series, our new focus on just unpacking some of the real stuff that tradies and tradie wives are experiencing out there. And Pete's been kind enough to jump on the show today and share his story. So welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast, Pete.
Hello. Hi, Warren. And hello, Nick.
How are you, Pete?
Now,
I'm great. Pleasure to be on.
We should let everybody know that you've just come out of a public toilet in a park.
Oh,
and and you're on your phone as well.
Just dropping him into it left, right, and center.
I have washed my hands. Yeah. but it was probably pre-podcast nerves.
Wow. We all have a nervous wee before we start, don't worry. Ran off and did ours too.
Pete deserves that. After calling me the net boy, because Pete and I used to do a bit of fishing together, and he was very happy to sledge me the other day.
Good.
To his son, no less, which is even worse.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Yes, and it was in regard to the trophy has been passed on to me, and that I am now the net boy in the fishing scene to my young 9-year-old, who seems to have claimed the "I catch more fish than you now, Dad" title.
Cute.
I wonder why that is,
Warwick. I know how it feels now.
Oh, you poor things. We need a therapy group for fishermen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tradie fisherman therapy group. It's got a ring to it.
It's called the Tackle Shop.
How much money have you donated to tackle shops over the years, mate?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm.
Gee, I think if we had a bookkeeper, that'd be for a fisherman or a fisherwoman.
Yes.
That would be a very lucrative business.
Wouldn't it? Except nobody really wants to know how much they've spent.
No.
Does that include fishing trips? Kindly donated by, you know, wives, usually.
Yeah.
Saying, you need to go on a fishing trip.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time for boy time.
It would run into the thousands, yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Including boats and electricals, yes. We're probably getting up well over a good sized amount, yeah.
Yep, yep. So we're not here to talk about fishing or to swap comics,
no.
Pete. Mate, for our listeners' benefit, because I know a fair bit about you and Coxie's had a couple of chats to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mate, can you take us back to the start? Maybe not day zero. We don't want to know about your poop in your pants. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, take us back to the early days, mate, and a bit of who you are and what your trade is and maybe sort of start to flesh out a bit of your story, Pete.
I suppose my story started, you know, at least 16 years ago, in construction. I'd actually started out when I was a teenager, and in those days we had a massive recession and there wasn't much construction going on, so I fell into hospitality, and burned up quite a few years doing that. Always in the back of my mind that I did want to be, you know, in construction, be a tradie. My daughter was born. Warwick was around that stage. We were friends and living in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I became highly aware that having a child now requires myself to maybe get out of hospitality and take on a career that would provide for my family.
Sure.
And probably got caught in the system. And
it's a good way to put it, mate. That,
yeah, I will not blame my daughter, but I probably, you know, people telling me, oh, Pete, you need to have this, you need to get this, you need to do this, you need to be like this. Whereas before, you know, people used to say, gee, Pete, you're super calm and collected, you know, everything's pretty crazy with you.
Mm.
I got into construction to better my financial status, also my working life, and try and be around my family more. I wanted to provide a home. We were renters.
Mm-hmm.
I had all those bucket lists and dreams and goals that all of a sudden started to overfill in the bucket and just chase them down. Along that road, I became, after a few years of learning the plastering trade, I was fortunate enough by a company to recognised that I was competent and good enough to, move forward into a business, and they helped me get my QBCC licence, where I started to take on more and more work, and I just thought, this is all good, everything's great, everything's going well. I had probably at that stage, I had a couple of guys working for me. That quickly grew to a dozen guys working for me. Everything was going well. Build a house, children doing all right, going to nice schools, my partner, everything seemed to be okay, in the personal side of things. And then the builder that I was mainly doing work for, they fell over. They went into receivership. And that's, I suppose, around the time the wheels started to fall off. It coincided with a couple other things going on in my life. But that's when I started to shift into other areas. And I found myself at a point where I had to go to... took a job on in Mackay, and spent 7-8 months away from my family, working, because times before that had fallen tough. So I'd fallen in a position of trying to put the runs back on the board, so to speak, in the bank account. But in doing that, things just went from bad to worse, I suppose, in my personal life and in my mental state, and in my mental health side of things, went right down, and I was away from the family too much. I took on a massive job, or I was thrown into a massive job, and the carrot was dangled in front of me. It was a job that I hadn't done before, but I thought, oh, I could do it. I came basically, a lot of things went on that job site. I was making good money, but other tradies didn't like that. Other companies didn't like that because there'd been failures on the job, which I was paid to rectify at their cost. And in turn, I became the target of job site bullying, harassment in the workplace and outside the workplace. I was on my own alone, away from my family, and I tried to tough it out. I was brought up on, you know, this will harden me up a bit more, Pete, you know. So every day I got up and I just went into work earlier just to be on my toes, and every day they would do something to, you know, sabotage my work or try and, you know, take another chunk out of the tree of me, and it just wore me down.
What sort of... sorry, mate. What, like, because, you know, there's a lot of talk about workplace bullying, and I guess there's a bit of a culture of that in the trades to some extent anyway. I mean, what sort of... you don't have to go into super gory details, mate, but, like, what sort of things were they doing?
On the job site where they'd sabotage your work, they would remove parts of my work, you know, put holes in walls, remove framing, just sabotage my compounds.
Unreal.
Steel tools, you know, anything. It was, I had my car attacked, keyed. Other guys that worked for me were getting harassed as well. Tools thrown at us, abuse, writing on walls, you know, suggestive behaviour. Yeah, you name it, it was there. There was a lot of use of drug use on that site. And the main, you know, when I went to, you know, the builders about it, they were, you know, you're getting paid good money, Pete. You know, get in there and do the job.
Just deal with it.
Outside the job, it was breaking into my room at night. They would harass me, you know, thing, you know, anything to try and get me off the job.
Yeah.
They thought that if they got rid of me, problems would go away and they wouldn't be charged these back charges for these works that I had to rectify.
Yep.
And we're not talking $1,000, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars.
Mm.
So,
are these guys in a rival business to yours?
No.
Wow. No.
So, yeah, it's sort of stuff that you goes on. It doesn't go on all sites.
Sure.
It goes on a fair bit.
It's commercial, probably more because prevalent than people would like to believe, I think.
I think so.
It's there, and a lot of guys leave because of the trade, because of this going on. You know.
Yep.
So I copped it because I was making money.
Right.
And no one else was.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, and I wasn't coached for that. I wasn't trained for that, to how to handle it. And the people that I saw to go to help me with that didn't want to know about it. Mm. So there became this in my head that no one gives a shit.
Yes.
And you just do the job, go home, lick your wounds, come back, do it again tomorrow. But it was a daily thing, and to the end of it, when I actually finished the job, I did it. I started, but I started to drink heavily. Mm-hmm. I started smoking again. I stayed away from any drugs, which were there on offer. to cope. I had a sleepless night. I was a mess. I was all over shop, but I hid it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came, back to home, I found it hard to fit in at home. I couldn't. Wasn't coping. I didn't want that to affect my partner any more than she was under pressure. With, you know, raising kids and being alone herself for that time. And prior to that, she'd lived a very single life as a partner in, you know, I was working in Brisbane. So 14, 15 hour days on the road, at work, driving home, you know, sitting in the car, on the phone, in the drive, you know, I wouldn't get in the door till 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Wow.
So she lived a very separate life. So she felt very alone. So the demise of my my personal affairs and my business affairs were just, were just crumbling. But I had money in the bank.
It's a sad irony, isn't it, mate?
I turned it all around, and I went from having a bad bank balance, I had debts, you know, to having money, and my personal life and my mental health just went out the door. I could have come home from there 10 times better than when I went up there. That's the gamble you take, you know, and taking on different things in life. But a lot of times you don't know. And I think a lot of young tradies or, you know, guys getting into business, they just don't know what they're in for.
No.
They're very naive, or they're very, they've got the blinkers on. They think it's all going to be great. And when the wheels fall off the cart, they happen in different ways. But, for me, I was apathetic. I never thought it would happen to me.
Mm.
I just thought I was tough and I'd get through it. But, when it gets personal and and it's day after day, my men were being affected by it as well. So they saw me going down. They were going down as well. So I felt responsible.
Mm.
And I came home basically and had, a bigger job to go to back in Brisbane. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't go back to that.
Yeah.
And I basically was suffering already when I was in Mackay. I was already suffering from thoughts of suicide. I couldn't believe, it was at that point where, one night in the room, I was so ashamed. I was so, embarrassed of how I, what point I'd gotten to, that I did have a go at taking my own life in the room. And I was getting harassed in my own, I had a tiny room. It was probably 3 by 3 meter room. That was my room. That's where I lived for 8 months. I had, nothing else, pretty much. It was like sort of like being in jail, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't been in jail, took a turn and I didn't come home well, and I number of times I'd set myself off to say I was going to work, I had jobs, I was going to work, whereas I wasn't going to work. I had jobs, the boys were doing that, but I wasn't going, I couldn't cope to go onto job sites because of this fear of what's going to happen on a job site.
Yep.
To the point where I was at, jumping off bridges, that thoughts in my head, and what kept me from not doing it was my children.
Yeah.
And that's what hung me in there. And one morning I'd woken up, I had the same thought, and I called out to my partner and said, I need help. And she was blown away. She had no idea that, I was actually in that dark place She put me in the car and took me off to the doctors, and I just completely lost it. Had a full meltdown. I hid it all. She had no idea. And how bad it was. But I just, with, you know, having a business, having a mortgage, having all these, you know, thinking it was too much.
Mm.
It was too full on, the pressures of big jobs. And again, I'll go back to what I sort of started out saying. I was on the wheel. I was on the system. And I just ended up there. How do I end up here? So, yeah, I'd spent 18 months on heavy medication. That sort of time of my life was like being in a coma. I can't really remember a lot from 2015 to 2017. Can't really remember much at all. But I functioned. I worked. But I was a space cadet. I kept the business going and I recovered. I did therapy. I got help. And when I thought, you know, it was hard, that when I thought everything was okay, my relationship with my partner had broken down because I was just not there, to the point where our relationship ended and we separated. And shortly after that, I, you know, got the business going again. I thought, right, we've got to pull me socks up and get it all together and turn it around. And I did, again. That took a lot of strength to, you know, get the wheels back on the cart and go for it again. And
yeah, I bet.
Being on meds as well, it was hard. So I built the business up, did what I knew, worked hard, tried to, and my plan was to, I'd done this, so I need to fix it. That's how what I had in my head, that I'd caused the breakdown of my relationship, I'd caused the, demise of myself. So I need to fix it. And I went on that path of trying to fix everything, which I did, sort of.
Like a typical man.
Which I did. I paid off a lot of things and did this and did that and had everything going. And I had a plan to wind down the business and get out and go back to just being a subby for someone.
Yep.
And having more time for myself, my family and my kids, and have no debt, and have a very simple life. Just go back to that. Get off the wheel, so to speak. And on that path, and thinking I wanted to get back with the, you know, love of my life and the children, I thought that might happen as well. It was a possibility, and it didn't happen, but I did other stuff that rectified other things, managed to reconnect with my children, reconnect with myself, reconnect with the business. And what blindsided me was I had a builder that I'd been working for 12 months, out of the blue, going to receivership, and I had $130,000 owing. And they went bankrupt. They had, basically just pulled the rug out from underneath me, and I'd, was like, whoa, what's this all about? I had no, you know, wasn't prepared for that. Then, I tried to keep runs on the board with doing another job, running on a real tight sort of ship, and used up a lot of my own cash, trying to rebuild and recover, pay off suppliers and that. And then 6 weeks later, in 2 days, I had another two builders go bankrupt on me. So that basically sent me into another downward spiral of what the hell am I? What's going on? What have I done? So I'd sort of got to that point where I'd recovered with my mental health. I'd recovered with the business again. And it all got ripped out again. And I was like, I remember like falling back onto the bed when I read the email of the third one going. And I just fell back on the bed and I went, where's the fucking candid camera? Where is it?
That's a cruel joke, mate.
I must be, people must be pissing themselves laughing or something, watching me on TV, you know, because this is not right. This is not real and it's not right. How many times have I got to try and recover? But I was done. I was spent. I remember lying on that bed just going, I'm done. So that was it. Pretty much had to talk to accountants. They just said, Pete, pack it up. You've got your health to think about. How many times are you going to do this? And so went to the doctor, talked to him about it. He said, Pete, you should be in a box by now. You should have, you know, either you're going to knock yourself off or you're going to, you know, keel over with the stress. So with that advice, I just packed up. I tried to have a plan of paying off, you know, trading out of it.
Yep.
And I just went, no, I'm done. I've lost my family. I've lost myself. The plan didn't work. This is just shit. Just happened. And you can't. I don't know. Can you prepare for that? I don't.
No.
As a tradie, as a you know the amount of money that I was owed. Talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's bad luck or bad business plan. It wasn't. It's just what happens in the building industry.
Pete, do you look back at any of that and recognise points where, I don't know, maybe you feel like it did get off track or you could have made different decisions? Like, do you ever do that?
Oh, I've questioned that, and I've actually drove myself nuts trying to analyze it and work out what went wrong. There's so many things that I've worked out that are just out of your control in construction, in having a business. It can be as simple as a carload of your men not turning up for a day at work because the car's broken down and you're supposed to get that job finished that day so other tradies can, you know, there's so many things that can tip a foreman off or, you know, and you didn't get this job done and, you know, that can, you know.
Yeah, yep.
There's just so many things that can really unhitch your boat and it just sent adrift. So things with my relationship, I just thought I was doing what I was supposed to do, get up, go to work, make the money. And when things went bad, I had to then go back in and make more money, work more hours, get things back on track to protect the family, to protect, you know. That's just what I was brought up on.
Yes.
I was brought up on that type of mentality or conditioning.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah.
I was conditioned from a young age to that's what you did.
Yep.
And when you know when you're in the trenches and the bombs are dropping, you just keep dodging. You know, but there's at some point you're gonna get you get blown up, and there's just nothing. There's nothing you can do.
No.
So what about the white flag?
What would have changed it, Pete? I mean, because part of the reason we want to chat to guys and girls like you is, I guess, you know, not to to pull it all apart and rehash it, but I guess to look back with that benefit of hindsight, as some of us do. Are you in trouble, mate? The cops are there for you, or what?
Oh, it's a fire engine. That's local fire engine going out of the Pomona fire station that I did the gyprock work 10 years ago. So
oh, you're one of those dads, aren't you? Yeah. You and the kids drive around, and I worked on that house, and I worked on that house, and I worked on that house.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the jobs I'm proud of. So, yeah. But the walls are still standing, and they can still get out for an emergency. So that's always good to hear. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
But I just wonder, looking back with that benefit of hindsight, if you know, if you can sort of look back and go, you know what, I could have done, or not could have or should have, but it's like, here's where the cautionary tales are for other people. You know, you mentioned at the start, I think, about young blokes and girls entering the trade, and they don't know, they don't realise what can happen and what's involved.
I think probably across a two trucks going out. Wow. Something big going on in here in Pomona. It's all happening.
this is a town with a population of like 500 people. Look,
and you know, when, like you're probably saying, when you know the alarms went off and the sirens rang, I don't think you actually realise it, because you're so thinking, I'm going to get a house, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. You've got the blinkers on, I think, and you just. Because you haven't tripped up, or you haven't had your fingers burnt, you just off you go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once your fingers get, you turn around, you go, oh, shit, didn't know that was going to happen. Mm. But what I realised is that I became a gambler, and I've never been a gambler, actually against gambling. I don't do it. I don't bet. I don't even know how to do it. But I was a gambler. I gambled my health. Mm. I gambled my family. I gambled my home. I gambled my future by taking on those things. And I think if you're consumed by something, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or gambling, or you know, and if you can relate that into business, is that sometimes there is no plan B. You get so consumed in it that you start making excuses and reasons why and this and that, and it'll all be good. Or, you know, money will come in tomorrow. So I suppose that's the red flags go up. You don't know it. You're in it.
Yeah.
It's going 1,000 miles an hour. You think you're indestructible. It's not, you know, not going to affect you that bad. And one day, yeah, you end up in the gutter, and it's,
So do you think,
not good.
Do you think there's anything people can do to get out of that, you know, when you're so far in the weeds of, it's all right, you know, I'll get another job, or it's okay, we'll you know, just do extra work on this one, or I'll just work harder. Is there anything people can do, do you think, to get out of that, to recognise it?
I think putting your hand up and asking people who are in it, getting advice. If you sense something not right, don't just say, oh, it'd be right. I think you need to stop. You need to just put the brakes on and stop and go, hang on, what's going on here, and sort it out. It's because it can just snowball so quick and get out of control. Once it takes off, it's hard to reel back in, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Once, you know, it's what can people do? Learn to say no.
Mm.
Learn to stop. But this fear, people live in so much fear these days. People are so caught up in things that, oh, I'll do that tomorrow, and you just can't. You got to say no. Because if you're sole reliant on your business, and that's what's paying the bills and putting food on table, that does come first. So you've got to commit. If you don't, you're a goner. And that's why I found it I found it when it got me, and how do I get out of this? I wasn't trained for this with the QBCC. I wasn't trained for this when I did the Master Builders course. I wasn't trained this doing an apprenticeship or they didn't teach me about this.
No.
So you're not coached, you're not conditioned to handle it.
Well, yeah. You're not even taught how to recognise it in the first place.
Yeah, it just, look, how do you know that someone's not going to pay you at the end of the month?
Mm.
How do you know that that job you just did and it cost you 10 grand in materials or, you know, that company or that individual or is going to pay? So you've got to have, every time you do a job, if you're going to do a $10,000 job, you've got to have $10,000 there to go again.
Yeah.
Mm.
$20,000. You've got to be prepared to lose that 10 or 20 or 50 or 100. You've got to be coherent with that because it's real and it happened. It got me a number of times. Prior to me having three big builders going down, I had a number of small other companies that I was doing works for, only $10,000, $5,000, $25,000. It sort of was easy to get out of it, but it wasn't fun. So I had to take on bigger jobs to bail out. It just gets to the point where I didn't have the money to bail out anymore. And we did great work. and that's the sad part about it. I built a business up. The QBCC handed me bigger licenses and said, you're doing great. You know, all my books where everything was great. And when the builders went bankrupt, I went with them. Mm. And there's nothing there. This is what probably got me the most was I, after feeling like no one cared when all that stuff went down, when I worked away, that when all this stuff went on, that no one cared. You think that you're paying this to help you. You think you've got this in place to help you, but you want to make sure, because I can tell you now that when companies go bankrupt and you're not paid, they'll suspend your license and you'll end up in a world of shit because you got nothing, no license, and they will just say you're suspended.
Pete, can you tell us a little about that, I guess coming to that understanding that you had to pull the pin on your business and what that looked like and what those first few weeks were like?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, big mixed emotion of like, I've put in so much effort for this and I felt like I did nothing. I didn't do it. And I got told that. You've done nothing wrong, Pete. You just have to deal with it. And I was angry. I was cynical. I was like, you know, I had smoke coming out my ears. It was a massive mindset reset of, all right, I now have to play the game. I've got to do what I'm told. And because I don't want to end up in a box.
Mm.
And those thoughts came back into my head big time of knocking myself off because I felt ashamed and a failure. But I just kept seeing my son and daughter. I just was like, well, you know, they're going to have no daddy.
Yeah.
And they became the most important thing in my life. And for them to have a daddy, I needed to become the most important thing in my life. Not money,
mm-hmm.
not that builder, this builder, not that, you know, not that guy. I had to become almost super selfish for a moment in my life to get better, to forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm.
Put it all behind me. It's not a nice thing when you hand over the books to the liquidators and say, "I'm, you know, I fault. I'm going bankrupt. That's it. I'm done. Wind up the business." So that was a massive mindset reset to say, it's gone. All that is going to go, your house, everything. But in that, I did seek some help with advice, and I was told earlier on that this will be the best thing you do. Mm. And it's just gotten so full on that you need to stop to start over again.
Sure.
And it didn't sink in because of how messy you are in the head. It's crazy. You've got crazy head. You don't. You're like, wow. It took a lot for me to hang in there. But I listened. Lots of trips to the doctor. Lots of trips to a therapist to guide me through it. I put my hand up and asked for help. I felt ashamed for a bit, but I went, stuff it. I want to be there for my kids, and I don't care if I've got two bobs to my name, I'm going to be there for my kids. And I'll recover from this. I've done it before, and so I need to do it again and just hang in there. So I did. I went bankrupt, dissolved the company, and didn't go personally bankrupt. Waited to see what the outcome was. I owed a number of companies money, and they came after me. But I was determined to try and save something, which was trying to save a home for my children. Mm. So I struck some deals with those companies and to try and pay them off and just buy some time, really, just to get my head together about what I'm going to do. And I went back to what I knew, and I put my head down and I worked. And sort of found work in a new light as probably a bit of therapy, you know. Mm-hmm. So instead of sitting at home worrying about it, I went to work and dealt with it, and finally decided that the house isn't worth it. Mm. The stress of trying to work my way out of it, the distraction from seeing my children wasn't worth it. So I needed to bring back some sort of order in my life. And I took another level of putting my children first and myself first. And I realised I need to put the children's mother first as well.
Mm.
And I reconnected with those things and worked out what's important. And it wasn't money. It wasn't having a house. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't having cars and, you know, materialistic things. It was about having my health,
mm-hmm.
having my sanity, having happiness. And I realised they were very important. So I started to work on those, and I decided that I was fortunate enough to do a job for a guy who had been through a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, "Pete, just let it all go. It'll be the best thing you do." And I didn't believe it. I was like, "No, how can it be the best thing I can do? So how can it be any better than what I'm going through now?" So he put me onto a couple of guys who talked me through personal bankruptcy. And I made a decision October 2 years ago that I'll go full bankrupt and start over again. What could be worse? And to be honest, it's been the best thing I've ever done. I've now got more money in the bank than I ever have. I've got less stress and dramas than I ever had. I've can recognise all the things that are going to happen before they happen, and I think I quoted towards several months ago when we had a deep chat about things. It was like a scene out of the Matrix, where Keanu Reeves, you know, he can just pluck the bullets out of the air and dodge the bullets and start seeing things in a different light and a different avenue before they happen. And yeah, that's how I've now go through life, is it's not all about this and that and, you know, winning the world over. It's about happiness, you know, and balance. So
what does that look like for you, Pete? Tell me what day-to-day life looks like now.
When I say I live a minimalistic life, mm-hmm. I decided to get the biggest skip bin in to my property that I could when I went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I'm going to start over again. I'm going to have nothing, no baggage, no nothing. And I was fortunate to be offered a place very close to where I live, and move in there at a reasonable rent.
Mm-hmm.
So I got rid of everything, started over again.
Wow.
I kept my bare minimum things. I kept like a barbecue.
Gotta keep
the Barbie.
I kept the Weber. I went without a fridge.
Wow.
I went into this mode of I'm gonna start over again, and I need to look at how I can save money and how I can give myself more time, and I don't want to end up in this situation ever again in my life.
Yeah.
So I started to rebirth myself. I didn't become a born again Christian. I didn't become any type of fitness fanatic. I just worked on my mental health,
mm-hmm.
Because I put that first, and everything started to fall into place.
Wow.
The less I had, the more I had.
Yeah.
You know? Sure, people have heard that before. So I quickly realised the more stuff I had, the more dramas I had, and that took away time with myself and my children, and trying to build a reasonable friendship with the children's mother, to raise them as best as we could, and the damage has been done, you know. Put it behind, start over again. Don't, you know, just move forward with happiness and don't look back in anger, you know.
nice.
So I've done that. I've been living minimalistic for, coming up to 2 years now. I still haven't bought a fridge. I bought a little car fridge. I function out of that. I use the local IGA as my refrigerator and my pantry. I don't need big cupboards. I don't need big, I don't need big appliances. I look at the world differently now.
Mm.
I go to work to sustain a lifestyle. I have a good life now. I've maintained my priorities, and that's my children's education.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's doing very well in a private school,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I work for.
Yeah,
I work to have happiness. I don't work for materialistic things anymore,
mm-hmm.
Because I can just see how much grief it can give you.
Yeah,
chasing the dollar can really. So now I have balance. So now I go to work and I work and I put my money goes into the bank, and I'm in bankruptcy. So it teaches you that you have no access to credit cards, line of credit. Well, you can, but it's very hard. I'm limited to the car I can have. I'm limited, or, you know, the amount of worth of car I can have. So it teaches you to live in a very sustainable lifestyle, mm-hmm. where you can enjoy yourself and have things, do things. So I've been doing more things with my life now than I have done in the last 20 years.
It's crazy.
It was at a point, it was at a point where I used to go fishing, and when I, my business, and I took on a home, and I took on all this stuff in one hit, and it seems to happen to a lot of people, and they just take on so much, and it all falls apart super quick. And they've got to, they've got to start over again.
So, Pete, I'm curious, mate, do you think people can achieve a level of balance and clarity like you've described without going through the challenges? Is probably understating it a little bit, but the challenges that you've experienced, and so many people do, that that talk about, you know, once they've been through it and they're looking back, they've sort of, you know, they've learned so much, and they get to this different space in their life. Do you think it's possible to achieve that without going through the suffering?
Oh, definitely. But there's so many. When you haven't gone through it, which I was in that state of mind, of being at the feet. It won't happen to me. I'm better than that. I'm not like that person. I'm smarter than that. Boy, oh boy, there's so many things that can bite you. You know, yeah. you're out riding your push bike, getting healthy, and some idiot opens the door, and next thing you're in hospital. You're out of work.
Mm.
You can't get on the tools. You know, there's so many variables that can come into it. But this is this living in fear factor. Mm. So how can you prepare yourself to not end up like that? Always, always keep in check of the reason why you're doing it.
Mm.
What's the reason I'm in business, and why am I doing this, and where do I want to, you know, where do I want to be in life? What do I want to have? And I think people don't even know the answer to that. They don't even know why they're doing it. They just do it.
Well, they haven't often asked themselves the question in the first place, mate.
That's it. So I got into it because I wanted to get a house. I wanted to have a roof because I was conditioned that that's what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know. I didn't really understand why I was doing it. I was just doing it because that's what you did. That's what your mates were doing. That's what other people were doing, you know. And that's the great Australian dream.
I just want to touch on that, Pete, because I think it's something that we don't expose or talk about very often as society, is this obligation, perhaps, to follow what appears to be the norm. I've got to run a business. I've got to buy a house. I've got to have a fancy car. I've got to have all this stuff, because we are conditioned to believe that's what life is supposed to look like.
It's not. So I can tell you, I don't have all that stuff now. Well, you know, I look at it differently now. I can go rent that.
Mm.
I can go hire that. I don't have to own it. I don't have to have that. If I want to go experience $1 million house, I can rent it.
Yes.
I can go stay at an Airbnb. I can, you know, if I want to drive a flash car, I can hire that, you know, to get a taste of it. But we're so conditioned, and you speak to a therapist, they'll tell you that, you know, we're just fed a big lie. People are just living in this bubble and they don't know how to get out, whereas I was told the other day that, Pete, you've found the door and you know that you can go into the bubble, but you know where the door is and you can come back out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, I didn't know how to do that.
No.
I didn't even know you could do that. And now I have. So, to put in perspective, I probably went 10 years without a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I suffered massive burnout. I've had, now bringing my balance back into perspective, and I've found the door to that bubble is I've had 5 weeks off.
Wow.
Earlier last year, I had probably another, I don't know, 8 weeks off in the year,
mm-hmm.
maybe more. This year, I've probably had 8 weeks off at least already this year. And that's, I'm not gloating or I'm not saying, you know, I'm doing something right. It's just that now I have balance.
Mm.
I have lower, people might ask, well, how do you do that? Well, you know, don't spend as much or, you know. Mm. Yep. I'm forced to live the way I live through bankruptcy, but it's been the best thing I've done. So now when I go to work, I work. I live quite frugally. That's a word. Mm-hmm. I save my money for having time off.
Yeah.
Resetting myself. But before I do that, I pay up everything. I try to. And now I'm, you know, having time off without guilt.
Yep.
I'm getting operations done that I'd put off for 5 years. Mm. And I can do that without worrying about the debts, the mortgage, the this, the that, the business. Because I can step back into it, I work, and I can step back out of it. Before, I couldn't step out of it.
Mm.
Pete, would you have believed it if someone had said, hey, mate, you're in this bubble and there's a door over there, you can step out of it? Would you have actually believed them?
No. I discussed this the other day with someone and no. That because I lived in that bigger fear that if I do, the world's going to end. It's going to be worse than it's going to be worse. You can't, if things aren't going right in your business, shut it down. If it's causing problems with your relationship, with your children, you're sitting at home with your hands in your head, you know. You're not sleeping. There's enough signs to change, give it up, ask for help. If you're not enjoying life, if your business isn't allowing you to enjoy life, why are you doing it?
Mm.
You're better off going and working for someone else 9 to 5, get a paycheck, change the way you live. You know, if it ain't working out, don't do it.
Pete, that's not for you. How big a part does pride play in
massive.
Particularly men continuing on when they probably deep down know it's shit?
Yeah, massive. Because that's what I suffered from.
Mm.
Yeah, of feeling ashamed that I'd failed. You know? And I suppose that's what leads to the suicide stats, you know? Guys, they're not, they're conditioned to do well, but they're not conditioned to fall.
Do you still think now, with hindsight, that you did fail?
No, I didn't fail.
No.
I didn't fail. Because I look at it now differently, I've actually gained more than I lost.
Yes.
Mm.
I have a better relationship with my ex. I have a better relationship with my children. I have a better relationship with myself, so I haven't failed. It's actually been a blessing in disguise in some way. Like I said, I had to reset my mindset.
Mm.
And I spent a lot of time working on that. And I was fortunate enough to see a guy unknowingly give a talk, and it hit me like an arrow through the heart. I just woke me up big time.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I did what I did. I was told by my doctor, you're the only, I've been doing this, you know, you're 70 years old, and he said, you're the only patient I've actually had that did exactly what I told him to do.
That's pretty typical for blokes.
And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, Pete. You should have knocked yourself off by now or put yourself in a box with what you've been through. But somehow you're still here. You know, and he sort of, you know, joked about it like you're the only, you know, the only guy that's bloody listened to me.
Mm.
So I think when the writing's on the wall, so to speak, you really got to read it, step back. It's okay to take a day off and self-assess.
Mm.
You know, I used to go fishing to self-assess. I loved it. And I'd get in the boat and I'd think about stuff. I'd take, you know, take someone with me in the boat, have a chat, self-assess, go back to work next week. When things got out of balance, I wasn't fishing. I wasn't doing the things I enjoyed that helped me stay in check. Therefore, that all affected people around me. And, you know, so in that sort of answer your question, Nick, it's like, did I learn? Have I gained? Did I fail? No. I think I've gotten better because my life is better now than it was before.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. And moving forward is probably, do I want to go back into that? Do I feel like the hard work I put in, I can't, like in some ways I can't, it's going to be very hard for me to get a license back again. I still get builders ring me up and say, can you do a job for me? We want you to do our job. No one else, and I have to turn them down, so I can't do that work, which upsets me. But then I go, why do I need to do that job? What's in it? Why do I need to do it? So I was in a builder's bubble. I was in a construction bubble where now I can step out in and out of that. I can step in and out of the life bubble. Because I have balance. So I go and do jobs now that are going to provide an income to sustain my happiness and my children's happiness. And I don't take on any more than that for more money in the bank or, you know, because what do I need that for?
Pete,
will it?
Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to tell myself I'm proud of myself because I stayed alive. I stayed alive. That's the biggest thing I'm proud of, that I've hung in there and I didn't let all this shit beat me. And I was pretty broken. And I won't say I don't want people to think, oh, poor Pete or poor this, you know, poor bloke, bad luck, just shit happened. But I just wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't coached or conditioned to have so much happen at one time. No one is,
no.
You know. So I'm proud that I'm here. I don't want to sound like I'm stuck up or floating or I've got a better life. I don't have a house. I've got no super because people haven't paid it. I've got, you know, a lot of nothing, which people might think, oh, that's so sad, but it's less crap I've got to deal with. I've got more to live for now than I had before, which is seeing my son catch a big barra, whereas before minimal chance of that happening because I was out of balance. I'd taken too much on. So I suppose in life and in business, you take too much on, you know, and you don't have the foundations there to support it, then things are going to fall over pretty quick when things go bad, you know. So I did have things in place, but... You don't have that that happened so quick in such a short time. But it does happen. I've found a lot of, talked to a lot of blokes that it's happened to, who will rip the rug out from underneath you. And, yeah, is a, you've got to be prepared to say that's enough. I'm done, and start over again. Because starting over again is, not a failure. It's a path to success, a path to a better life and a better future. And, yeah, people don't, yeah, you sometimes we live in this fantasy world. I used to think, oh, my kid will, you know, if I don't have that house, that'll be the worst thing that, that'll happen to my kids. They don't go on about missing the swimming pool. They don't go on, you know, they don't go on about missing their bedroom. What they go on about is how we miss Daddy.
Yeah. Yep.
How he wasn't there. How, whereas I thought it was the other way.
And a lot of time, mate, you talk about success. It's in how we define success that actually sometimes brings us so much suffering, mate.
Mm.
Pete,
why
I'm...
Why do we do it?
I'm wanting to you know, you've talked about this new awareness, I guess, of being able to enter and leave these bubbles at will. What's the future hold for Pete, mate?
Currently my future is getting my getting some operations completed, giving myself time to heal, and business wise, being a subbie, I can have guys work for me. I can go back into that sort of field. I've just got to work out, why would I be doing it? Why would I take that on? So I'm still at that state of mind where, do I want to have staff? Do I want to do all that again? I'm happy working for someone. My future, family-wise, is I think I've found the balance. It's I learnt a new word the other day, which for me is practice. I've just got to keep practicing what I'm doing, and just keep practicing it because it's working. I'm happy. My son's happy. My daughter's happy. I've got balance. I get work. I do my work. I get paid. I go home. If I set bigger goals and targets, I'm now aware of the repercussions if they fail.
Yep.
And I'm prepared for that. I'm stronger on, you know. So I read something the other day, or today actually, Nick's put something up and read another I assume it's a guy that knocked himself off.
It was a guy.
Yeah. I don't know why that's happened.
Yeah.
But why does it continue to happen?
It's a riddle that a lot of people are trying to solve, mate. And I think,
yeah.
Sadly, I think the answer is probably hiding in plain sight, but we're just not focusing on the right conversations about the right things. And, you know, we're trying to stop people going over the waterfall instead of figuring out why there's water in the stream in the first place. And I know from my own experience it was like that. So
yeah, it's this bubble that we live in, that we've got to do this and we've got to do that and we've got to have this and we've got to have that. I think we're so caught up in living in this fear, you know, we're in this fear state of mind that if we don't do that or don't get that job done, or if we don't take that on, do this, do that, everything's going to fall apart.
Well, we even have a term for it, mate. We've got FOMO.
Yeah, fear of, yeah. What is it?
Fear of missing out. I think I had to Google that to figure out what that was.
Because you're old.
Yeah. I'm too old.
Yeah, fear of missing out. And I live that. Fear of missing out.
Of course.
And I think what you've got to realise is, in business, is if you fear of missing out on a job, or fear of missing out on, you know, getting that job, it might not be the right job to take on, and you might miss out on some things, but you're probably going to, if you take it on and do it for the wrong reasons, you'll miss out on a hell of a lot more, you know. and you'll work out what's important in your life. And really, yeah, for young players getting into a business or thinking I'm going to set the world on fire, ask yourself, why are you doing it? Why are you going to do it? And is it really that important? And if it isn't, don't do it. Do it for the right reasons. So I do it now. I do it now for I'm conscious and my awareness is now heightened that I can say no to a lot of things, a lot more things now. Whereas before I used to be a yes man. I had to say yes to everything. And it brought me, more dramas because I didn't know that I could take the door out of the bubble. If someone had said, you can go bankrupt now, Pete, or you can go through pain and suffering for the next 5 to 10 years, what would you choose?
It's that old thing about would you have actually believed him, mate? So
yeah, and just to add why did all this come about? We had dramas with a house bill. Why did I work so hard and why did it take so much on? Because we had a dramas with a house bill and we had a builder that went belly up and put us, in an unfinished home position. And we had dramas with that. And my thing was, I'm going to have to work to get, work harder and take more risk, take more on to get this house finished. And that at that point, I should have just put my hands in the air and said, I'm done. House, but you don't.
No.
You've come so far. I worked so hard to get that deposit and build a home for it to go to shit that I should have just said, take it. Because it was the start of the end for my family and relationship. Mm. Too much pride there.
Mm. Is that word again, mate?
Yeah.
Pete, I want to finish with a question that I usually ask probably in a different light, but I think it's a good way to wrap up our chat today, and people are probably thinking you're a bit weird sitting in a park for an hour or so on the phone. Mate, if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, what's one piece of advice you would love to leave them with?
Respect. Just have respect for yourself. Respect for the people that around you. Respect for the job that you're about to do. And respect for the pluses and the minuses that are going to come out of it. I think that's what a lot of people have lost. They've lost a bit of self-respect. They just do it. They do it for unknown reasons.
Mm. It's a great point, mate. Well, Pete, mate, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a fantastic chat. I must admit, I felt myself sitting here not wanting to speak because you just had some fabulous insights there, mate, and really appreciate you sharing your personal story. That's very, very valuable stuff, and I would like to think that more blokes especially, but more people would do the same, and I think more of these sorts of stories need to get out there so people realise that they can step out of the bubble, as you say, mate. So thank you, Pete.
And start again. There's no shame in it. There's no shame in saying, I've had enough, I need to step off and start again. There's no shame.
Mm.
And it does get better. And you can start over again with fresh legs and move forward instead of going backwards.
Well,
but yeah, glad to be on the show.
Thanks again, mate.
Thanks, Pete. You're amazing.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, and thanks for your help over the short time that we've known each other, Nick.
Always a pleasure. What,
yeah. It's got me, a small part of it's got me to where I am today, so... Sitting in a park.
Glad to be a part of your success, mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
it is. It might be funny, but yeah, it's better than Yeah, places I've been.
Mm. Well, thanks again, mate.
Thank you.
So there you go. There's Pete, mate, as I've always called him. I've known Pete for, I think probably 15, 20 years. So, yeah, we lost contact through all of his challenges, probably not surprisingly. And funnily enough, I went through my stuff around the same time. So we've kind of arrived at this rebirth, as I think he described it in there, at similar time, which is part of our reconnecting. So really thankful to Pete for sharing his story today. And again, as we said at the top of this episode, if any of the content in today's episode has left you feeling perhaps like you do need some help or support, then please get in touch with Lifeline. You can call them on 13 11 14 or go to their website at lifeline.org.au. And there's also Mates in Construction, fantastic organisation helping tradies and contractors right around the country. And you can call their support line nationally on 1300 642 111. And Coxie and I are also always here to help and support you. So, you know, if you don't feel like you need to call those two organisations, you can always reach out to us, probably via the Facebook page is best, Coxie.
Yes, I say so.
And just drop us a direct message, and always happy to chat to anybody who needs a bit of help, even if it's not, you know, to the level that perhaps we've discussed today. So thanks again to Pete, and we look forward to sharing some more Real Tradie Guys and Real Tradie Wives episodes with you real soon.
Thanks for listening.
Hooroo.
You've been listening to the Tradies and Business Podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesandbusiness.com.au.